Good morning to all of you. It's a beautiful morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name. Happy to be here this morning. We're also happy that Angeline Zimmerman has given her heart to Christ, so we're going to give her time to share her testimony. Angeline? Thank you for that, Angeline. Very good. I think all of us who have accepted Christ can relate to that rest that we feel when our burden of sin is gone and we can rest. So we'll pray for you, Angeline, and pray for the rest of the instruction class as well, Christopher and Kaylee and Talitha. And we've welcomed Angeline into that class as well. So pray for all of them. And all of us, we need prayer, don't we, to grow in our walk with Christ. Over the last couple weeks, I've been thinking about the subject of the body of Christ. So I'm going to use that for a title this morning. I believe it was 8 weeks or so that we did not come together here in this building to worship. And I think we were all thinking about this separation. And we want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the body. It's a very familiar passage. He uses the analogy of the human body and how each part is needed to make up the whole, and how there's many different parts, but it comes together in one body. And while I believe Paul was talking about the brotherhood at large, the Christian church at large, I want to think locally this morning. I want to think about this group here that meets weekly to be accountable to each other and to worship together. And even though we're from many different backgrounds, God has brought us together as one church family. And while we were able to connect over the weeks that we were separate with electronic methods, there's still a big piece of church life that was missing. And I think it was pretty obvious to all of us. I believe we all miss that coming together here to worship and the connection that we share as brothers and sisters. We all miss that, I think. And a question that I think many of us were wrestling is with, how long can we have a church if we are not coming together? How long can the body survive without coming together? I think we can all relate to that feeling of disconnect that we shared because we're not able to come together and worship. I know that some congregations expressed concern that when they were able to come back together, would everyone come back? And that's a legitimate question for some people. Some congregations, this time of separation was a time when people who were maybe on the edges just felt free that they could leave, go on to somewhere else. And they expect that their membership would be lower after this pandemic. I read some articles yesterday that some local pastors feel like maybe there'll be more people in church after the pandemic. So I don't know. But as I thought about that, what would be wrong with a body that felt so disconnected that after 6 to 8 weeks, people could just leave and they would feel okay with that? What would be missing if that was the case? After a few weeks of separation, it would become dysfunctional. I think as we look at history and even other countries today, the opposite should happen. When the church faces pushback or persecution, the church grows. It seems like the more favorable the conditions for the church, the less it grows. And I don't feel like us not being able to gather for the past couple weeks was persecution, but I do hope that instead of it being a time the devil could use to drive wedges or to make us critical of each other, that the opposite would happen, that we would come together and be stronger after being separate for a little while. We can band together and grow in ways that we may not have been able to grow. I know that in the past 2 months of not coming together, I have learned to appreciate this body in a way that I didn't before, or I took for granted, I should say. I hope that's true for all of us. So this morning, for some encouragement, I want to spend some time just considering the body of Christ. What is a body? A body is a physical structure of a person. This morning here, you are looking at my body, and I'm looking at your body. And our bodies just are an amazing sum of the many different bones and tissues and organs that all work together in coordination that make our bodies function. Our brain is constantly sending impulses throughout our bodies, telling each part what to do. If we touch something hot, it's amazing how quickly our hand jerks back without us even thinking about it. And that's the brain receiving those signals and telling the hand what to do to protect itself. So think about that thought and transferring it into our church life. We are to be the body of Christ. And the church is to be the physical representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. And he is our head. He is our leader. He is telling us what to do, and we follow him. We are the body that people around us observe, the body of Christ. When they think about Jesus and who he is, are we what comes to their mind? I'd like to look at a few characteristics from this passage of 1 Corinthians 12 for a message this morning, a few characteristics of the body. But before you turn to 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Very similar thoughts here. We'll start with in Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 18 through 23 of Ephesians. Thinking about Christ being our head, the head of our body. We're kind of breaking into a thought here, but we'll try to tie it together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we're thinking about the body of Christ, and Christ being our head. And Paul was praying here for the church at Ephesus, that they would be able to see and understand this truth that he was getting ready to teach them. We're breaking into that thought in verse 18. And Paul taught them that the power that raised Christ from the dead was available to all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. How many of you remember the drawing that Brother Kinley made for this to explain this passage? I'm just going to put it back up here. I jotted it in my Bible when he drew it up here, and I thought it was really good. I'll use his Juniata County marker, as he called it. He drew a circle up here, and he said, this is Christ. And he's our head. And then he drew a body and said, this is us. This is Christ's body, which is the church. And then he drew little feet, something like this. Then he drew a line, and he put principalities. How to spell that here? And he said that he was talking about our walk and overcoming. And Christ is our head, and we are his body. And the power that raised Christ from the dead puts the principalities and powers down here underneath the feet of the body and the head, which is Christ. And his point was that we have the ability to walk in victory and in power because of the power that God has given to this order here. And just as I mentioned this earlier, but I just wanted to remind us that just as the brain sends impulses to the body, Christ is our head. Christ is the head of this congregation, this church, this body. And we respond to his requirements, his teachings for us. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll go ahead and read a few verses from here. And we're going to look at some characteristics of the body. First characteristic is Christ is our head. Second one, let's start reading in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read verse 4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. So characteristic of the body of Christ is its coordination. It's working together. Paul is teaching unity here in this passage. I think he was teaching a working together, which we call coordination. And coordination is something that is amazing to watch. If you can watch I'm not very good at batting, but I enjoy watching someone who is. Their ability to see the ball coming at them, swing the bat at the right time, connect with the ball in the right way, which sends that ball out across the field. There's so many different bodily functions that are working together to make that happen. It's just amazing. Is it any different, the body of Christ? When we think about working together, there's when that person hits the ball, we don't think about the eye doing such a excellent job at seeing the ball coming, or the arms that have the strength to swing the bat, or all of those things. We don't think of them individually. We think of them collectively when they are coordinated together and what it's able to do. I think we've all seen someone who has had a stroke where this coordination is broken down. Those impulses don't flow like they're supposed to, and this coordination is disrupted. It makes it difficult then for to do even the simplest task, even talking or feeding themselves, because the body is not working the way it should. When that connection between the brain and the body is broken, the coordination is lost. The same is true of our church body. When we lose that connection with our head, Jesus Christ, the coordination is lost. It's hard for us to work together. Let's read verse 7 through 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. What I see in these verses is harmony. That's illustrated in many ways, but I thought of it in our singing this morning. The blending of voices, it's a great illustration of how the body of Christ should function. It's nice to hear Ernest's strong bass. But if that's all we heard, that obviously wouldn't be a very nice song, would it? But when we bled, sorry, Ernest. When we blend our voices, the soprano, the alto, tenor, and the bass, it's a beautiful thing. God is worshiped, God is glorified when we blend our voices. Paul makes it clear here in this passage that there's going to be differences among us. We're all created uniquely. We're all different. We all have our own opinions, the way we think things should be done. It's when we blend those differences, we blend those different talents and gifts, and they're united towards a common goal, and that is blessing each other and glorifying our head. When we blend those together, it's a benefit to the whole body. Verse 7 points out that these gifts are not given to individuals to bless them specifically. It says in the last phrase, God which worketh all in all. I'm sorry, verse 7. To profit withal. The gifts are given to each of us to profit the whole, not to profit us individually. And it's easy for us to use our gifts to lift ourselves up. And Paul is teaching here, that's not what we should do. We should use our gifts to bless the group, to bless the body. The same thought is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Just keep your finger in 1 Corinthians because we're going to come back there. Let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 and read verse 11 through 13. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do that? It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if you have a gift, whatever it may be, use it to benefit our brothers and our sisters. That's why God gave it to you. It's to benefit the group. Flipping back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read verse 13 through 17. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? The characteristic I want to look at here in the body is that of equality. We are all equal, even though we have some different gifts. Even though maybe you don't feel like you have any gift. Paul is teaching us here that in the body, we are all equal. It says here in verse 13, doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, doesn't matter who we are all equal in this body. Verse 13 brought out that we are... verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. It's all coming together and working together that makes the body beautiful. It's not that one member is more important than the other. Paul also lays out two ditches that's easy for us humans to fall into here in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, we can think of ourselves as less than someone else. Or the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body. We can think that the gift that we have is not as good as someone else, the person sitting beside us, or we can't do what maybe someone else can do. Paul says, don't do that. Just because the foot says, I'm not the hand, does that make him not part of the body? Absolutely not. And the other ditch we can fall in is that we can think of ourselves as more gifted or better than another person. And we'll pick that thought up a little bit later. Paul brings that out when he says that there's parts of the body that say they don't need other parts. And that's wrong as well. Every member is needed for the body to be complete. Every member is needed. Let's read verse 18 through 20. Another characteristic of the body of Christ is that God places the members. Verse 18, but now hath God sent the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. I think this is one of the most beautiful things about the body of Christ, is that God places the members. God builds the church. God brings the people together. And he places different members in different bodies in a way that brings him the most glory. And none of us can be proud or ashamed of who we are or where we are. God places the members in the body. Maybe we wish that we could contribute something like someone else can. We had a little chat there on the brothers' chat this week about PowerPoints. And Brother Clyde can put together a PowerPoint, and I simply just would not know where to start. And that's a gift that God has placed in this body, that when we blend it with the other gifts, it's tremendous. It makes a lot of difference for me to be able to sit down, consider a building that I haven't seen inside, when I can look at pictures, see the different layouts there on the screen in front of me. It's a huge blessing. And we can blend that gift with the rest of the brotherhood. It's a beautiful thing. God places the members in the body, and we're thankful for that. I'm glad that I don't need to decide, or Tim doesn't need to decide, who can be a member here at this church. God builds the church. We welcome everyone here. Everyone has something to bring, but no one has everything. I found that quote when I was studying. I thought that was really good. Everyone can bring something, but no one has everything. Another characteristic of the body is in verse 21. Let's read that verse. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Another characteristic of the body is interdependency. We depend on each other. We need each other. We as Americans like to think of ourselves as self-sufficient, and I have what I need. I don't need someone else to make it. But I think we all need this body to balance us out, to round us out, to show me my weaknesses and complement my strengths. That's what the body is for. It's a place we can blend. It takes humility to depend on my brotherhood. Romans 12, 3-5 says, for I say through the grace given unto me that to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I love that picture of dependency on each other. We need each other to make it. And it takes humility to realize that I don't have everything that I need. Especially for us as Americans who are a very individualistic culture. We live by ourselves, we do our own thing, and we don't need someone else. But the body of Christ is interdependent. Start reading in verse 22. Let's read through verse 25. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. A characteristic of the body is that we see the gifts in each other. And maybe some of those gifts aren't as obvious. This morning I brought a model of an ear along. I was doing some studying on the ear and found it quite interesting, the different parts of the ear. If I would ask one of the children to point to their ear, you'd probably point to this right here, right? And that's correct. That is our ear. But did you ever wonder why this thing on the outside is shaped the way it is? It's kind of a funny shape if you stop and think about it. Like, cover the rest of it up. Well, that's not lost. That is, the ear takes sound waves and funnels it into our ear canal. And it's shaped that way so that we can perceive which direction the sound is coming from. Think about how useful that is when you're crossing a street or you're driving a car. Being able to tell which direction sound is coming from is very important. And I left some of my notes at home for the ear, so I'll just try to go off of my memory. But the ear is divided into three different parts. Obviously the outer ear, which is the ear lobe and the canal. And then we have, it's called the middle ear, which is where our eardrum is, which detects the sound waves. And there's three tiny bones in there. I won't even try to pronounce their names. The simple names are the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And those bones are on the back side of this little flap of fiber here called our eardrum. And it translates, or it transfers the sound waves from the middle ear to the inner ear, which is this the cochlea here, which is filled with a fluid. And we know that sound doesn't travel very well through fluid. So that those sound waves need magnified so that the fluid can connect to the inner ear, which is the nerve going to the brain. So those bones work together, very tiny. They amplify the sound by about 20 as it taps on that cochlea and sends that sound into the nerve, which goes to the hearing part of our brain. Another part of the ear that is essential is these little bones up here at the top that have fluid in them give us our sense of balance. Without those little bones there, we wouldn't be able to walk properly. We'd stagger back and forth. And so when we think about the ear, there's so much that the ear does that we don't even see. And it's very essential. And the same is true of the gifts that are in the body. There's gifts that we don't see. There's gifts that we don't always pick up on, but they are essential to this body working together. It's just amazing to me how these body parts that we have contribute so much, and we take them for granted. And often we do this in our brotherhood. We're tempted to judge or jump to conclusions by what we see in our brother. And we are overlooking something that is a gift in that brother or sister that he contributes to the body. Verse 26 says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." A characteristic of the body of Christ is that it's empathetic. It feels when someone is hurting or someone is rejoicing. Think about a small paper cut on your hand. It's the smallest thing, but it's incredibly painful, and your whole body nurses that until it's taken care of. Or I thought back to last summer when I had a ruptured disc in my back. A very small thing, Your disc is only maybe the size of a quarter, but a piece of that broke off and was against the nerve and caused me tremendous pain. And it hindered me tremendously in walking and working, and a very small thing. And the whole body tried to nurse that back to health. And that's how the body of Christ is to function. We need to be able to empathize and share the feelings of our brothers and sisters. And to do that, we're going to need to have more than just a Sunday morning relationship. That takes time. We need to invest in each other and interact with each other. And it has two sides: reaching out and interacting, but also being open, that people can come to me and share, "Brother Sonny, I think you have a weakness in this area." And I'll be open to that. But the body of Christ is empathetic. It feels the other members. Verse 27, Paul's sort of recapping here in this verse. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And what that verse means is just simply, we're working together to make up the body of Christ, and each person has a part to play in that. Each person has a part to play in this body that God has brought together. In verse 28 through 31, Paul lists some more gifts here. Verse 28, "And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Paul's asking, does everyone have the same gift? No, they don't. He says in verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And what chapter comes next? In my Bible, we have to turn the page. 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. He says, "I'm going to show you how to live out this body of Christ." And he gives them the instruction in chapter 13. I'm just going to read that chapter quickly. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels," referring back to the gifts that he talked about in chapter 12, "and though I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that is which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Paul's burden for the church at Corinth was that there be no divisions in their body. And he, obviously in chapter 12, laid out this analogy of the human body and the body of Christ and how it's to work together. But we all know it isn't that easy, is it? We rub each other the wrong way, or we get on each other's nerves, or whatever word you want to put in there. But Paul says, I'm going to show you how to live. And he tells them here in chapter 13 that love brings it all together. The love for each other just smooths everything out and ties us together in a way that nothing else can. Quickly in closing here, what is the purpose of this body? I think number one, it's to bring glory to our head. That's the purpose of this body. We saw that in Ephesians. God has placed Christ at the head. John chapter 13, verse 35. Some of you may be able to quote this verse. The second purpose of the church is that they might know. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We live out love for each other in a brotherhood, in a body that speaks volumes to the world around us. And another purpose of the church is to continue Christ's work. When he ascended back to heaven, he gave the disciples there the Great Commission. He said, go and teach. And that's our work here as a body, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to teach others about Christ. How are we doing with that? When people see us, when they see our congregation, are they turned towards Christ? Do they see the body of Christ when they see us? And as we blend our gifts, recognize the need of everyone in this body, and blend our gifts together, God is glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this opportunity we've had to gather together to worship you. Lord, I just thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we can have forgiveness of sin, we can have peace, as Angeline talked to us about. But thank you that we can be right with you. Lord, also thank you for your church, the members that you bring together that mean so much to us.